God's grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not very good at voting for the person who eventually gets to be chosen president of our nation. Since I've begun voting in 1972, only one candidate that I've ever supported ever got to be elected president. That was Nixon in 72. I'm just not very good at choosing winners when it comes to voting for president, and that's probably a good thing. But even though the person I vote for doesn't get elected president, that doesn't mean that I don't support him once he's elected president. I try to give him a fair chance to prove himself and don't criticize him unless I'm positive I have enough information to make a valid criticism. I accept him as my president. I don't try to overthrow him by revolution or succession. I don't leave the country because I disagree with some of his policies. As long as he exercises only the legitimate rights and responsibilities granted him in the Constitution, I will follow his leadership and accept the decisions made by him and Congress as the law of the land, as long as he does not require me to compromise my faith or my morals. I accept Jesus as Lord, my Lord. Not everyone does that. There are probably as many lords in this world as there are people, probably more. Many of those who profess faith in a Lord other than Jesus seek to destroy those who believe in some other Lord than their own. Hence, we have seen in history religious persecutions against Christians by communists, Muslims, and others. Some others know that Jesus is Lord, but yet they act in rebellion against him. They use his name to curse and swear. Although they know what is right and wrong in the Lord's eyes, they act contrary to it, as if there were no divine universal law. But Jesus is their Lord, whether they like it or not, just as Bush is our president, whether we like it or not. Whether they like it or not, Bush's decision to support President Aquino against the revolt of some of the army in the Philippines drastically affected the lives of those American citizens who were trapped in the hotels of Manila. Decisions that President Bush makes every day affects our lives, our economy, our security, and our freedom, whether we like it or not. Likewise, whether a person accepts Jesus as Lord or not, he is still acting as Lord. He has been given all power in heaven and on earth. As it says in Ephesians 1, it was God's kindly purpose in Christ to manage everything in heaven and earth in such a way that when the right time would come, it would all be organized under Christ as its head. And we know what God's policy in Christ is. As it says in Romans 8, we know that God works all things out for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his plan. So, whether a person acknowledges Jesus as Lord, he still is his Lord, just as Bush is every American's president, whether they like it or not. So when Jesus says in our text, "You may not see me from now on until you should say, 'He who is coming in the Lord's name has been blessed,'" he is merely saying that there is a time coming when every soul will give up its delusions as to who the true Lord is and will realize that Jesus Christ is the blessed one who is coming in the Lord's name. This is made quite clear in Philippians 2, where it says of Jesus that God exalted him up on high and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, everyone should confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that they should kneel and everyone should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and so glorify the Father. On that great judgment day, when Christ separates the sheep from the goats, Christ says that when the Son of Man condemns the goats for not acting out of love for him, that they will respond, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't help you? Lord. On that last day, there will be no denying it. All will acknowledge Jesus Christ as the true Lord, and that will give great glory to the Father. However, just because the goats will on the last day acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord does not mean that everything will be all right for them. Jesus still says to them, Go away from me, you cursed ones, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Even though they know that Jesus is truly Lord, it is too late for them. You see, it is too late to change sides after the final battle has taken place and the war is over. When it comes to the great spiritual war between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, we should not be like King Zedekiah of Judah, who rebelled against the king of Babylon. Zedekiah had been told by Jeremiah that God was using Babylon to chastise Judah. So Zedekiah's rebellion was not only against Babylon, it was against God. When Nebuchadnezzar put down the rebellion, he took Zedekiah and made him watch all of his sons being killed. Then he blinded Zedekiah, so that the last thing Zedekiah ever saw was the end of his royal lineage. It was too late for Zedekiah to escape the punishment after he had lost the war. Rather, we should be like Rahab the prostitute. When Joshua sent two spies into Jericho to check out their enemy, Rahab protected these spies for the Lord's army. She betrayed her own people. When Jericho fell to the army of Israel, Joshua saw to it that Rahab and her family were safe before torching the whole town. She had joined the right side before the final battle and was therefore rewarded. We too must be on the right side before the final battle. It boils down to who will be our Lord. Will we serve the one Lord who, like the king of Babylon, is putting down the rebellion that has occurred in his universal empire? Or will we serve one of the many lords rebelling against him, who ultimately are represented by their great overlord, Satan? I believe that Jesus will win the war. He predicts that he will in Scripture. It is his creation. He has all power. It is clear to me that he will have total victory. I hope that you believe it too, and accept Christ as your Lord as well, because no one knows when the final battle will occur. That great ultimate battle could occur today, or it could be centuries away. Indeed, you could be one of the casualties in this war today, so that your part in the great war could be over quite quickly. The war would be over for you. In that case, your soul will go to await the culmination of the war in the camp of your Lord. If your ultimate Lord was that rebellious overlord called Satan, you will await the outcome in hell. If your Lord was the true Lord, Jesus Christ, you will await God's final victory in heaven. Jesus wants you on his side during this protracted war. He tells Jerusalem in our text, How very much I wanted to gather your children, like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Jesus still wants to gather the children of this world from its evil master. The image that Jesus uses to describe how he tries to gather the children of Jerusalem is one which we urbanites have limited experience with. We know that birds will go to great lengths to protect their young. Some will even attack much larger animals and people when they perceive them as threats to their children. Some will pretend to have a lame wing and try to lure the wild animal away from her chicks. But the image which perhaps speaks more to us as humans, which we have in common with that hen, is the maternal instinct displayed by the hen for her brood. We know what it is like to have a mother and the close bond that exists between a child and his or her mother. We all know, and especially we fathers know, perhaps to our disgust, that in the child's heart, mother is the ultimate source of security and love in this earthly world. The child is more likely to come running when his or her mother calls than anyone else. If there is trouble, the baby will find greater comfort in his mother's arms than in anyone else's. So Jesus, when he says that he is like a hen trying to gather her chicks under her wings, is saying that he is like a mother, with arms outstretched, calling for her own to come into her loving arms. Jesus Christ has loving arms. He calls for us together to come and be embraced by his loving arms. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and rest in the loving arms of Jesus. Now you would think that the children of this world would come running to Jesus when they hear his invitation. For he was the word spoken by God that brought this whole universe into existence. He, even more than our mothers, is responsible for us being here. A child naturally goes into the arms of her mother. But we humans, made perverse by sin, unnaturally run away from that true Creator. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how very much I wanted to gather your children like a hen gathering her chicks under her wings, and you would not. That statement is true not only of Jerusalem, but of Fort Wayne, New York, Paris, and every other city in the world. Instead, we children oftentimes try to destroy the message and the messengers. In our text, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those having been sent her." These prophets and apostles that were sent to Jerusalem were spiritually the loving arms of Jesus, trying to gather into a group, into his loving arms, his own. But instead of listening to this invitation to come into the loving arms of Christ, the messengers were murdered. They hoped that by silencing the messengers, they could stop the message. But like a mother, Jesus did not give up on his children. He kept on sending messenger after messenger, although they were all abused, persecuted, and even killed. Finally, he himself came, the greatest of prophets. If they would not listen to God himself inviting them to run to the embrace of his loving arms, they wouldn't listen to anyone. But as St. John says in the first chapter of his gospel, he came to his own, and his own people didn't welcome him. He received the same treatment as all the other prophets. He was ignored, abused, hated, conspired against, and killed. It was as if the chicks had killed their mother for trying to help them. But by that death, a sacrificial death for the welfare of her children, the children were freed from the evil one's onslaught. In Genesis 3, we have the picture of the battle between the snake called Satan and the seed of woman called Jesus. The snake is what Jesus was fighting against in his earthly life. The snake wanted the chicks, but Christ, as a mother hen, fought off the snake, crushing its head, but receiving the bite of death as well. On the cross, Jesus experienced that poisonous sting of death. But his own Father, the giver of life, brought that Christ back to life. And all those children who are really Christ, hearing the cry of their Lord to come into his loving arms, respond by running into that eternal embrace. Then they too, as the prophets and apostles did of old, take the message of God's love to this world. And just like the prophets of old, all of them can expect persecution from those who don't want to hear the message that Christ wants them to run into his saving arms. I do not do a very good job of choosing who is to become the next president of the United States. Who I think would best govern our nation is apparently based upon a different set of priorities and values than that used by the majority of Americans. But I do think that my choice for Lord is the correct one and will ultimately be vindicated. I say this because my choice of Christ as Lord was not made by any determination on my part, my values, my priorities, but rather because God chose me to bring to me the good news about the love of Christ through his prophets and apostles. Through that good news, he created in my heart that faith which led me to confess, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Through this faith, God has allowed me to see my Savior, Jesus Christ, as he is active in the bread and wine of communion, in the water of baptism, and in the Word of God, as it is preached, taught, read, and lived. Because of this faith, I too carry on the work of the prophets and the apostles, no matter what persecution may come my way. I know that no matter what earthly disaster comes my way, Christ has called me to take refuge in his loving arms. And that is where I really am, even right now, come what may, in those loving arms. Pray with me. How precious is your love, O God. Men and angels come for shelter under your wings. Amen. The Lord reward you for what you've done. May you get a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come for shelter. Amen.